going on, Bulls fans? This is Andrew Perez, Pro Bull, the class of 2018, and you're tuned in to the It's Bruin podcast. Go Bulls.
You have to understand those who came before you. You can't just play for me.
Payoff pitch. Brutcher pulls it. Deep to right field. And this game is tied.
Every day is to make the university extremely proud, to make our alumni extremely proud of what we're doing in the program. Culture and work ethic and all of those things, those are living, breathing things.
Are you kidding me?
This is ripped, the first Hogan, and there is your game winner. The South Florida Bulls can celebrate. They are headed to the Super Regionals for the first time in school history.
If you don't have the expectation of getting to Omaha and playing well in Omaha, you probably shouldn't be coaching Division I baseball.
All right, everybody, welcome to this edition of It's Bruin at McEwen, the USF baseball podcast. I'm here today with two of my co-hosts, Matthew Giardino and John Kaplan. And today we have a very special guest to the program. We have the new head coach of USF baseball, Coach Mitch Hannes. Coach Hannes comes to USF from Indiana State. That's a program where he played at. His team made it to Omaha when he was a player. He got drafted out of there, played in the minor leagues for several years. And after finishing his professional baseball career, he started coaching actually at his alma mater, Indiana State. Was an assistant there for a while before he became the head coach at Lincoln Trail College for 9 years. Had a lot of success there and eventually returned to his alma mater as the head coach at Indiana State. He was there for 11 seasons, a lot of success, especially recently that we as fans in Tampa were noticing. I think the whole country was noticing what they were doing over there. Obviously last season, making it to the Super Regional in 2023, and then last season going 44-15, finishing number 11 in the RPI. When I learned that Coach Hannes was going to be our next head baseball coach, I was extremely excited. And it's really, really exciting to have him on the show today. So, Coach, thank you very much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Oh, you're welcome. We're doing fine. We're doing fine. We're getting transitioned, but I think getting a coaching staff together and getting everybody here, that's been the toughest part. I think even tougher than the recruiting piece and the roster piece, because we have guys coming from all over in terms of our staff.
Gotcha, definitely. And speaking about your own situation, I saw you here for the press conference about a month ago, and you were mentioning process of moving and things like that. How's that gone? Are you settled in Tampa yet? Do you have a place yet? How's that going?
Well, we don't. We're still working on that. My wife, Amy, came down for the press conference, and then we went home for 4 or 5 days, and then we came back down for about 4 or 5 days. And then we were fortunate enough to have a storm back in Indiana that knocked 4 trees down at our home. So she went back. So she had 3 of them cut up before I got home this last weekend. So we were doing well. Actually, she had a lot of help from our friends and family up there. But we're still looking. I think we're very close to finally getting a house and getting settled.
Awesome. So as of today, you're talking to us from Indiana.
No, I'm actually at a hotel here in Tampa. So,
oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Amy's still in Indiana. So gotcha. I keep Sunday night.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. And so what's your impressions of the Tampa area so far? I'm assuming you've seen different parts of the area as we're looking for a home, or any, what's your thoughts on the area so far?
Actually, I haven't seen it much. Really? I can get to the airport and back.
Okay.
Amy has driven around. She's driven around a lot of the area and has fallen in love with it as she's been house shopping. So she's gotten to see a lot more than me in terms of the area. I know how to get to the Leroy Selman Center, and I know how to get to Tampa International Airport, and that's about it so far.
Okay. All right. All right. You're focused. I like that. Cool. Well, speaking about coming to USF, you're coming from Indiana State. That's your alma mater. That's where you played. What made the job opening at USF so appealing to you? What would you say are some of the main factors that made you want to come here to Tampa and with this program?
Well, I think initially when the conversation began about the job, I think immediately you think of Tampa and the hotbed of baseball and the number of players that are running around this area that are awfully, awfully talented. And you think of the junior colleges that are close by. You think of the time we've spent getting kids from Puerto Rico on our roster. I think there were a lot of things that you sat back and said, "Wow, that's a great spot to coach." And then I think really what put it over the top was Michael Kelly. Just impressed with their vision and what they want to do here. I think for all of us, I was at a school that we had limited resources, but we didn't think about that. We didn't talk about that. We wanted to get to Omaha as much as anybody else. I think at USF right now, they're not satisfied with being in a small chair at the table. They want to be in a big chair. They want to be in a big conference. They want to go places. As all of this college landscape changes, they want to be a player. And that was really appealing. I don't think any of us want to be on the outside looking in. So I think that was the biggest selling point. Obviously, Coach Prado was heavily involved in the process as well. And I just felt like with Michael Kelly running the show, there are a great things ahead in terms of the college landscape and where USF can end up in that landscape.
Definitely, that makes a lot of sense. I know from your press conference, you mentioned how first it was you wanted to work for these guys, and then you mentioned you wanted to win for these guys. So it's great to hear that that connection developed so quickly, and that you're able to get into this position. And thinking about I met you at the press conference after the press conference about a month ago. This has been your first month basically on the job. And obviously, you're going back and forth from Florida, Indiana. How have these first few weeks on the job been? What are you most proud of getting accomplished so far? And what has been maybe your biggest challenge so far?
I think the busy can really summarize the month. I mean, it's been unbelievably busy. It's starting to get to a better place now with most of our staff now here in Tampa. But when it started, and you're really the only guy running around, and thank goodness for Chris Cates, who we retained on the staff, and there was somebody right there that really helped with a lot of the transition. So there were just so many moving parts, whether it be recruiting the roster, getting the HR stuff done here on campus, getting my photo ID. I mean, finding my way across campus to, thank goodness there are a lot of really good people in that athletic department that really made this a much easier transition. And the hard thing is in these type of things is always the roster. You have to make a decision really quick how you want to handle that. And we were in June. We had freshmen coming to campus in a week to take classes and go through that part of it. And so I just made the decision that I did not want to completely disrupt the roster. I wanted to be fair to the young men that were signed, the 20 new players that were already coming in addition to those that were coming back. So that was the hard part, making sure that we were able to maintain the scholarships for those guys. And then with what money we had left, to really go to work and putting an insurance layer of older guys around those younger kids to make sure that we have some experience, some guys that have been battle tested that can step in and hopefully fill some voids for us.
Definitely, yeah. That's something that I was wondering how that works, considering you have players signed from prior commitments. But I'm glad to hear how you're able to balance it and work it out. And thinking about as you mentioned earlier, bringing in assistant coaches, as fans, we're slowly watching the news trickle in of different coaches getting hired. And I'll kind of just start from the top. I think the first one that really we became aware of was Kevin Bowers from Indiana State. You know, obviously someone you worked with for a long time. Can you speak a little bit about bringing him down here with you?
Yeah, Kevin and I actually go back even a little further. We worked together on Bob Warren's staff at Indiana State. And then when I took the junior college job at Lincoln Trail, he came with. So he's been with and around me for a long time. Knows me as well as just about anybody. And I think that's really important. And from a recruiting and an ability to identify players and really understand what I like to see in players and what we've been successful with. It was a big piece to make sure that you bring at least a right hand with you. And I think that was really important. And the other thing, he's just really good with every piece that goes into coaching a baseball team, especially, you know, not just on the field, but a lot of the off the field type things. So it was important to have him to be able to be here and organize and help organize our recruiting efforts. And that's where I see Kevin spending the bulk of his time.
Okay, awesome. And then another name that we learned that came in was Blake Kangas from Oklahoma State. Can you talk a little bit about him?
Yeah, Blake is a guy that was really instrumental in what Oklahoma State's been doing in terms of their recruiting. You know, they have a couple coaches on staff that were their counter coaches that didn't go out on the road. So Blake got exposed to a lot of road time, even as a guy in that fourth or fifth position on the staff. He recruited a lot. And he got here about 2 weeks ago and left the next day recruiting. I haven't seen him since. Shoot, he's been out. And he is a relentless recruiter. He is a guy that I think he will be a guy whose name you hear for a long time. He's a guy that is going to be in an unbelievable situation someday because he absolutely can recruit. He is relentless recruiting. And I thought it would be a big piece to get him in here in that regard.
Awesome. Yeah, we've been enjoying his tweets where he just tweets the horns up, which signifies that he's got a new recruit, which is pretty cool to see. Yeah. Another exciting addition to the staff is Daniel Schlereth. He was doing a lot of big things at Western Michigan from a pitching coaching standpoint, and he's also an ex major league player. What are your thoughts on bringing him in?
Well, I became familiar with Daniel during this past season. A former coach of mine, Brian Smiley, who's at Miami of Ohio, is the head coach. Called me about Daniel. It was about middle of the year, maybe early May, and talked to me about him and what he was doing at Western Michigan. And then lo and behold, we end up in the same regional at Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
So I got to watch him up close and personal down there in that regional. And when this became open, I had the chance to speak with him at a little more depth about pitching and the things that he sees our staff becoming in terms of identity and what we would try and do. Just really impressed. I'm really impressed with him. And I think, again, a guy that's going to be in this business a long time if he chooses. But he does a really, really good job with not only the actual pitching piece, but the arm care. He ran the arm care program at Western Michigan, which is rare. Usually that's an athletic trainer. But he had enough injuries himself playing that he knows all about arm care and those type of things. And I think the best thing is he just knows how to compete. And the one thing I would say about all these guys, whether it be Coach Bowers or Blake or Daniel, they know how to compete. And I think the one thing that the mission we have right away is we have to get in here and develop an identity. And so for me, it's important to have guys that understand that piece and have been a part of that development at other places.
Awesome. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And another piece of news was the retention of Coach Chris Cates. He's a guy from Tampa, and he's a lot of coaching experience in different places, especially throughout Florida. You kind of mentioned him a little bit before, but what was the kind of the thought behind retaining him, and how what are you excited about with him?
Well, I go back long enough to remember watching him play, and you know, watching how he played. And obviously I'm a little taller than him, so his size and just the way he competed, and I know that that's the kind of coach he is and what he will bring to the table. And I think that's really important, again, to have people that have played in a super regional or played at a high level, you know, at Louisville and played in Omaha, and those type of things are really important. You know, you try to explain to players what it's like to play at the end of the season, but the more people you have that have done it, it makes it so much easier if you've made a deep run in the tournament. So I think Chris brings a lot of things. And, you know, I didn't know Chris really well until the last 2-3 weeks. But again, just like a lot of these guys, he's a really good person too, which is really important to me as we put this thing together.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I thought that was going to be it for coaching news, but we actually had news today that Brian Peters, who is an alumni of USF Baseball, he has decades of coaching experience, a lot of good jobs. He was most recently at Long Beach State, and he was the interim head coach there for the full season this past season. We've learned today that he's going to be joining your staff as well. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think if you start looking at our staff, if someone's sitting there looking at the ages, I think in getting Brian in here, it's a guy that has recruited USF. He understands Tampa, the area, the state. Was a big part of success back in the era of Coach Cartiera, when probably the heyday of USF baseball, you know, to this point, watching what those guys did. And I think for me, you know, with Kevin and Brian, those are guys probably closer to my age, but experience. And then you look at Blake and Daniel and Chris. I mean, those are younger guys that sometimes relate better to the era of players. So to balance that staff with experience, I think having Brian in the dugout is a huge advantage for us, with his experience actually in game and his experience running offenses and those type of things. So I just wanted a little more experience in that spot, as opposed to, you know, maybe a fourth young guy.
Okay. Do you know which three coaches you're going to take with you to the bench in the regular season?
It depends on how they do in the fall.
Okay. I like that. they're trying to make the team.
they can all go to the bench. I think in terms of if there's, I'm not big on a pecking order, but I obviously the counters that we have in terms of the guys in those counter spots, those three assistants are Daniel and Blake and Brian.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
And then also we're bringing with us a former player at Indiana State to be our graduate assistant.
Oh, nice.
A young man named Jordan Schaefer, who was very similar to Coach Cates. A guy that made himself into a heck of a player, was our starting shortstop for 3 years at Indiana State, had a great career, went into the real world and worked for a couple of years and decided he doesn't really want to work. He wants to coach. And he and Chris, together with our infielders, I'm excited to watch. And I think you guys, you know, a little bit from listening to me at the press conference, but defense is extremely, extremely important to me, and the ability to play it and defend at every position and put the time in. And so I see those guys doing a great job with our infielders and putting a lot of time into that and making sure that our interior defense is as good as anybody in the country.
Awesome. Couple questions on coaching roles, and if you don't know it yet, that's fine. But I was thinking, who are you seeing as kind of like your hitting coach per se? And also, who would you see as your person who would maybe work with the catchers on like maybe the finer points of catching and things like that?
I think right now the way it sits, Blake will probably spend most of his time with the outfield. Chris and Jordan in the infield, probably Brian with the hitters and catchers, and Daniel with the pitchers, obviously. And then I medal a lot, so I'll be in all of those areas.
Gotcha. Awesome.
Hey, Bulls fans, it's Big Dog, USF superfan, and player in a league of their own. You are listening to It's Brewing.
Hey, everyone. That special Bruin shout-out was brought to us by a really good friend of our program, Big Dog, a USF baseball super fan. He is a member of a very special baseball league here in Tampa called A League of Their Own. It's an incredible organization that provides a supportive and inclusive environment for adults with special needs and abilities to enjoy baseball, fostering personal growth and lasting friendships. The league promotes physical activity, teamwork, and skill development, ensuring accessibility for all participants. The coaches and the community empower players to showcase their talents and celebrate their unique strengths. Join me in supporting A League of Their Own, Tampa Baseball League. Let's inspire and uplift the lives of these amazing individuals, fostering a sense of belonging and a lifelong love for baseball. If you want to support the league, you can go to their website, alototampa.org. That is alototampa.org. I'll put the link to the website in the show notes below. The league is located only 5 minutes from USF, and they're always looking for volunteers. If you would be interested in volunteering and helping them out, you can contact Dennis Mueller. I'll put his information in the show notes below as well. Or if you're unable to volunteer but you still want to help, you can go to their website, and if you scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, there are a couple different ways that you can donate to the organization, and anything you can do to help greatly supports this organization. With that, let's get back to our interview with Coach Hannes. Well, I think that's all the questions I had on my end. I will kick this next segment over to John.
Awesome. So yeah, Coach, your track record, it speaks for itself. You've got a career winning percentage at Indiana State of 623. You've got six conference championships, four at Indiana State and two at Lincoln. What have been some of the main pillars of that success you've experienced, and what do you attribute it to, and how will you bring that success to USF?
I think the biggest piece of that, if you really go back, and it was pitching and defense, and really that's kind of what our identity was. It was defend at a high level, pitchers that competed, attack the zone, and then offensively, kind of being a two-headed monster offensively, being able to play small ball, but yet being able to have enough physicality on those days where the wind's blowing out and it's going to be an 8 or 10 run day to be able to hit the 3-run homer. So I think it was the ability to play different styles offensively, but yet pitch and defend on the other side. And, you know, that's a really big piece. I think when people think defend, they think a ground ball coming to a guy and you pick it up and throw it across. And it's, you know, there's so much in terms of pitchers being able to multitask and hold runners and make pitches and make sure we're not giving up free bases. And I think that's been kind of our staple. And I think the other thing that we've been really good at is identifying our staff at a point that we had starters, we had middle relievers, we had leverage guys, and we always seemed to come up with a guy in the back to finish the game. And so I think within all that, the ability to define roles within your entire team is extremely important.
Awesome. Yeah. So one thing that, you know, when we met struggles, I would say one thing that we encountered was, you know, not doing the small things right. And it brings me a lot of joy to hear you say, you know, being able to play small ball when it's needed, you know, pillars of defense and pitching, you know, those are two things that are close to my heart, and how there's more to that. You got to be in the right place at the right time when you're not directly involved in the play, you know, everything's cohesive. And I really enjoy hearing that. Kind of a little bit more into that, I would say, what do you believe are the key principles that contribute to in building and maintaining a consistently winning team at a high level? Are there specific fundamentals or aspects of the game that you particularly prioritize and value outside of what you just mentioned?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of physical pieces that go into that. I think first and foremost, you have to have a group that makes a decision that they want to be good. I mean, if you can go out there and roll balls out all day, but if a young person doesn't have it deep inside him to be as good as he can possibly become for the good of the team and not just for themselves, it becomes really hard. And I think that's why. And listen, I've had teams that have gone through struggles too. I know you're talking about last year, but what happens is you got to make sure that everybody stays on the same island. You get guys that want to be on their own island. You get 9 or 10 different islands that guys are standing on, and it's really hard to pull a group together and move forward. So I think within a lot of that, they have to make the decision that A, they want to win, and winning is hard, and it takes unbelievable effort, and it takes unbelievable time, and not just commitment when coaches are standing there. And I think that's always first and foremost. Then when you get out there and practice, you got to make sure you're working on things that obviously are instrumental to your success. I think the biggest thing that you have to work on is you have to know the end game. You have to know where you want this thing to land. If that is in Omaha, then you better practice like you're playing in Omaha every day. And you better really get after it, and you better really focus, and you better have energy, and you better do the things that are going to be required at the end of the season. You can't practice for a midseason game and then run out of juice at the end of the year. And I see that a lot. You know, you see young guys that come in and they're still in that mode of throwing a baseball to the plate. They don't understand what a championship plate looks like, how tight it is, how hard the hitters are to get out at the end of the season when that plate shrinks up on you and you've got to throw to the white of it. And if you haven't spent time changing speeds and working up and down the different quadrants, when that plate shrinks, you're going to be in trouble. So I think it's understanding how fast the game's going to be played, the level of preciseness that's going to be played at the end of the year. And you've really got to lock in and go to work on that day after day after day after day. And what you find, you know, the fall, as you begin that process in the fall, our job as a staff is to see how many levels we can take these guys up to. And, you know, I've certainly had teams that you come out of the fall and think, man, I think this team's got 5 years, and they end up having 7, you know. So you hope they can reach back for a little more as we start the journey. But that really, to me, is how you start the process. And then you hope that as you get into it and you maintain it, you have older players that keep carrying it on. You don't have to say much as a coach. And I think that's when it becomes really, really important, when the players are leading it and the players take it over, and not in a vocal kind of way, just in, watch me, kid, this is how we do it. This is how we do it here. This is how we handle failure here. This is how we handle this here. This is how this. And I think ultimately, when you get all of those things going, you have what everybody calls a culture that's a living, breathing. This is the way we do things, and this is the way we don't do things. And we got to understand that really quickly.
That's funny that you mentioned culture, because I was going to ask you one follow-up question. You know, from prior interviews we've had with different players, you know, one thing that has resonated amongst all of them is, as like a retaining factor or as to why they chose USF, was the culture that they had both on and off the field. I'm starting to see some of your pillars, you know, per se, of how you want to build this ball club and how you want to develop these young men into grown men and get success on the ball field. But how do you build that culture within a program? Where do you start, and how do you do it on the fly? Like, you're going to have to.
Well, you as the head coach exemplify that as much as anybody. You know, that it's not a, hey, I'm going to line out 9 things and this is how we do it. It's going to be learning from me initially and our staff. I mean, you have to show how we handle failure. I have to do that now with a lot of new guys, and guys begin to understand, we don't react and turn around and make excuses with the umpire, come into the dugout, make excuses. I mean, I think it's by example, and I think that's the best way to lead. But it's going to be a daily process. The other thing, you know, the only times everybody in today's world say kids have changed and they're not as tough. And I always argue that. I'm telling you, we've had tough guys and we'll have tough guys here. And we'll have guys that won't complain here. And we'll have guys that compete their ass off here. But you got to win their trust. They have to believe that where you're guiding them is to the proper areas that they want to be guided to. And they understand that it is a good place to be guided toward, as opposed to fighting them and making them want to get to that position per se. So it's not going to be easy. But the only time I've had trouble with guys are when their expectations become much lower for themselves than I have for them. And I think to achieve any of this, you have to have clear expectations. And I promise I promise all my players all the time, I promise you, my expectations for you will never come down. You might, by the time we're done here, you may want to shoot me. I don't know, but I'm not going to give in. You know, we have all of these young guys that come in obviously have great potential. And for us to get that potential out of them, we have to be able to be honest and coach them and push them to be the best players that they can become in our program, and also the best people that they can become. But those all work hand in hand to ultimately what creates winning. That's kind of a byproduct of all of this push and practice and these places that we try to get to with these young men.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Coach. I look forward to seeing you lead from the front and develop this staff and everything that it's going
to
be.
Hey, everyone. If you are enjoying this show, please be sure to follow or subscribe to the show on whichever platform that you are listening to. Feel free to leave us a review, give the show a rating, and also be sure to follow us on all platforms, Instagram and Twitter, which is at USF Baseball Fans. Thank you. We'll kick it to Matt.
Yeah, thanks so much, Coach. It's been very insightful so far, and just got a couple questions about, you know, this upcoming season and some of the expectations that maybe you haven't, you know, quite set yet, because it's pretty early on right now. But what are some of the immediate goals you have to set for this team, and both on and off the field? And how do you plan to achieve them within your first season?
Well, I think with every group, when you start, I think you basically set out to maximize the abilities of the group. I don't know, ultimately, I'm not seeing everyone at this point. We'll get a good up close and personal look here in about a month. But I think, and when I just said it to the guys in the office, our job is to maximize this roster. Our job is to make this roster as good as it can possibly be. And that is a constant in coaching. Will our roster be as good as we want it to be? We'll find out. I mean, we'll see what kind of talent we have as we get going, but that still doesn't change the expectation and the push to become as good as we can possibly be with this group. And so that's the mission. That's the mission from the word go, and that never changes, and it'll be the same next year and the year after. It's why coaching is not the greatest profession in the world, because even though you return guys, you always start over in the fall. You always start over. If you lose two guys and you bring back 38, it's still going to be a different dynamic because you lost someone. So that's kind of the beginning piece. And I think for me, always off the field, I hope this could be the first year that I haven't had to suspend a guy because of his academics. You know, I'm pretty unwavering on that end as well. I've had a guy in every single fall that I've coached in my career not get to participate in baseball. It's the first thing you take away when guys are struggling in the classroom. And that seems to be more of a wake-up call than bringing him in and talking about it. We'll go through this and we'll send you to more study table. It's much more impactful to say, okay, you don't get to go to the field for a while until you get that stuff figured out. So, and I think the guys kind of fall in line. I think in terms of the other piece, the identity piece, and what we try to do, I think for most of us that have been around athletics, the people that are between those lines that you meet or you're in between those lines with those aren't always the type of people you want to introduce to your sister or a friend, or those are not nice people. You have to learn to play with an edge and a fight and an alter ego that is just not always a good person. But to be able to go to that gate at the field and close it and walk out into the world, the real world, and just become a really good person and shut that switch off of that alter ego guy. That's the quest. That's the fight of what we'll be doing here in the fall.
So pretty much to sum it up, you know, bringing passion to the field every day and having that burning desire to win ball games.
Yeah. We've always had a big saying, you know, for me, it's always, you know, big day, big day. And that's on the practice. That's every day, every day. And I think young people, the hardest thing that they have is to show up and bring that intensity and that work ethic and that mentality every day. And that's really the fight, and that's the struggle. And some guys will do a really good job of that, and some guys it'll be a pretty hard learning curve. But it's a very minimal expectation. You guys know that. You've been around athletics. We're not asking for anything special. We're just asking for you to come in that gate, be focused, locked in, and work your ass off for 2 hours or whatever that might be, so we can start maximizing our roster.
That's awesome. And I could tell you, you know, from experience watching some of the guys that will be coming back next season, you got some good pieces coming back with Lawson Gailey and Raphael Betancourt, Matt Rose. You got some dogs that are going to go out there and, you know, they're going to go out there every day and fight for the team.
Yeah. And I've heard a lot of that as well from Coach Gates as we've gone through the roster. So I'm excited about what we have, you know, returning some of the guys that we've been able to piece with them, and some I can't speak to yet because we don't have everything officially signed and documented, but I'm excited about what we're able to maybe mesh together for this coming season.
Yeah. Can you talk to me a little bit more about the building of the roster so far? We've seen, you know, different announcements on Twitter of this guy coming, and seems like it's a really good mix of guys that are maybe JUCO guys, guys that have played at other Division I programs, some high school kids, even a transfer from Indiana State as well. Can you talk a little bit about how that's gone so far?
Well, we've tried to look at our club initially, and the one piece that was really standing out was the lack of physicality offensively. So we've added some guys that we feel like can help us in that three-run homer day. You know, we don't want to be bunting every time up with the wind blowing out and the other team hitting three-run homers. That's not a good formula. So we felt like we needed to get a little more physical. We felt like we needed to insulate our young arms with some more proven arms. And we've done that by navigating the portal, some JC guys. And then obviously the fight with what some of these guys are being paid in the portal made that a little more difficult. Some schools are throwing around just enormous amounts of money to finalize their roster. We didn't obviously have that luxury, but I've never felt like money was the end all be all. You gotta get the right guys and get to work. But I think we've done a good job. If you think about what we had and the position players that are returning and the pitchers that are returning, we just tried to lengthen the depth, so to say, so we don't have to rely on a young guy to come in and jump out there right away. And that's a tough task. You guys know college baseball, the formula is pretty simple. These teams are staying old. They have a lot of proven veterans, and that's why they're so active in the portal. They want proven guys. And I just felt like we were a little young to go up against some of that. So we tried to remedy that.
That makes total sense. And where do you think that we're currently at with our roster, like on a percentage basis, you know, 50, 60, 70%, you know, and where do you think that you'll go mostly in terms of filling out the rest of the roster?
We're pretty much done. I told my staff we got too many guys as it is. They have to guarantee if we take another guy that he can play in the big leagues. So if they can't, we're not adding him to the roster.
Yeah.
I'd say in this era that we're in, we could literally have 100 guys. Every school right now could have 80 to 100 guys. There are going to be so many young people that are stuck in that portal. So many people didn't get picked up out of JUCO. I mean, they're just going to get caught in the numbers game. So yeah, at some point you just have to say, no, we can't take any more guys. And we're there. We would like to get one more arm. That's really where we're at. And we've been really patient. I would really like that arm to be left-handed. If we get down to the end game and that's not going to happen, we'll take the best available. But right now we've been holding out to get a good left-handed arm.
That's exciting. That's definitely, something that we've seen in the past where we've had some really good left-handed arms, but last year was a little bit of a struggle in that department. We only had, I believe, one or two lefties altogether. So if we can get more left-handed pitchers, that would be awesome.
Yeah, but I think there was some misfortune with some injuries too on the mound, which certainly hurt. Those they seem, when you get them, they seem to come in bunches. You know, you can go a couple years and steer free, and then all of a sudden you have five of them. So, and I think that obviously affected the pitching staff last year.
Definitely. My last question is more so about your recruiting philosophy. What are the qualities that you look for when you're recruiting players, or, when you're talking to your assistants who are recruiting? What are those biggest things, the tangibles and intangibles?
Well, I think for these guys that are, recruiting is such a fast-paced rat race, and you have to identify guys so much quicker than in past years. And it seems like you go from the first date to the marriage. There's no in between. And so I think what the guys have done a really good job of is we try to do as much research on these guys even before we see them, and talking to people and talking to coaches and talking to scouts. And you try to get a really good understanding of what makes them tick. Even you might even sneak on their social media and just get a little feel for the person. Because, each guy that you bring in is going to step into a small locker room, and they can affect that locker room in a big way. And you have to be careful, especially once you get your culture in a place that you really like it, you're much more guarded as to who gets to enter that room. And so I think we have to do a really good job of understanding that and putting time in. I've never been a coach that has had captains. Every guy in my locker room has an equal voice. Once they get here, I don't want to hear anybody talk about age. We need everybody to get better here and to maximize and help our roster. I don't want to hear where someone might be from. We're all here in Tampa now, or USF. And so I think once you have a person that comes into that, we've got to work really hard to make them one. And that's still a big part of this. People are spending enormous amounts of money, but you still have to have a team. And so as you go out and see these guys, you immediately look and say, okay, how would this guy fit in the locker room? And not that he has to be a saint, he just has to be able to fit in with other people and understand that here at USF, we're going to value substance over style. I told Coach Cates today, that home run belt, go hang that thing in the shower. I think for a lot of, when you're trying to become somebody in this business in terms of a team and an identity, you've got to do more and you've got to do something different. And I think our people have to understand, if we're going to beat, if they say that Texas A&M is going to be the preseason number one now, which some people are saying, and that's the bar, then we can't be worried about a damn home run belt. We better figure out a lot of other things in between in terms of substance to be able to get on a field and play with those guys and compete with those guys. So when you look at a player and you look at all of these things, I always in my mind say, if this guy were on the field tomorrow, gets the number one team in the country, A, I know he's going to fail because he's young. Can he survive it? That's, to me, that is the biggest piece. Can he survive getting bruised up in that moment? If you can't, and we've all seen it, we've seen a lot of really good players that just can't handle getting bruised up, and they fail and they're out of the game. So you have to be able to fail. You have to be able to wear it, and you have to be able to go back to work. If you can do those things with X amount of talent, you can become pretty damn good.
Makes a lot of sense. I think that's pretty much all the questions I had, but Mark, is anything else that you got?
No, I just thought that was interesting, that last point there, Coach, regarding, you know, handling failure. Is that kind of something you see, you monitor their body language or how they respond? Like, you know, you don't necessarily want to see guys strike out and their heads down, walking back to the dugout. Like, are those the kind of things that you look for, or is it more to it?
Yeah, no, I think that's all a part. I think we certainly have ways to improve those things. But I think for a lot of us, you know, coming in here, I step into a situation where I represent University of South Florida. I give away my personal identity, and I represent a lot more than Mitch Hanis. And every player that comes in here represents a lot more than their individual name. And young people have to understand that. Even people at the highest level are wanting guys that can step into a big league locker room and perform and produce and all of those things. And that's why some of the great big leaguers of all time, you meet those guys and say, man, what a good guy, you know. But obviously between the lines, they weren't a good guy. But I think all of that's really important to what we're trying to do. And it'll take time. But I think failure, you know, everyone says, and I'll say this to the guys a lot because I've said it to all my teams. I mean, it's not a game of failure. You have to get that out of your head. Ultimately, you're going to have to handle failure, but every day's opportunity, and it's a game of opportunity. Every time you step on the field, you have an opportunity. And the more you understand that, and the more you prepare yourself for opportunity, the more successful you can become. And I think that's where we get blindsided. We get to the point that we fail at something and we hide from it. You know, we're not good at that, so I don't want to do that drill. I want to do something that makes me feel better about myself. And, you know, that's why I talk to the parents a lot. Please, if you want your son or daughter to be a Division I athlete, you don't know what's around the corner. And the more you guard them and the more you hold them in a space and they don't prepare for, we don't know what's around there. I just know sometimes what's around there is not the nicest thing in the world in terms of competing and people getting after you. And, you know, some of the best teams that we play, you know, a lot of these really good SEC teams, they don't want to beat you. They want to embarrass you. And you have to understand that. And that's what we're getting into. And if we don't prepare and we don't get ready, they're going to embarrass us. And they want to. They want you to think that you should never, ever step on the field with them. So that's our quest. That's what we'll go to work on. And there's a lot of pieces that go into it. But I think first and foremost that failure piece is directly linked to the mental piece. I feel like the reason we've had a lot of mental struggles for a lot of these young people, we're in an era where everything they do is on television. Everything they do is out in the open. So when they fail, I mean, it's out there for everybody to see. And we have to do a good job of a staff of making our guys understand that not everybody is willing to get up on a stage, grab a microphone, and sing in front of thousands of people. You know, and it's the same thing with athletic events. I mean, not a lot of people are willing to get up there and bare their soul and fail in front of everybody and then be able to get back on that horse and go again. So that's really what we have to overcome. We have to really work to instill in our guys that, you know, failure is a part of it. But in that, we can't quit looking for opportunity.
Love that. I love the way, you know, you kind of reframe that in a way that is, you know, gives players something good to focus on, the opportunity in front of you. And like you mentioned, you know, not letting one failure affect the next opportunity, because there will be more opportunities. And that's an awesome mindset to hear that you instill in them. Really, really awesome to hear. But I think that's all we all had as a group for questions. And it's been really awesome having you on, Coach. Really enjoyed it. We all really appreciate it. And best of luck finding a home in Tampa. hope that goes well. But really excited that you're here, and really excited to have you on again in the future.
Sure. If you guys ever get bored and you want to come to practice, come on out. You can even drive down from Athens, Ohio.
Yeah, luckily. Luckily, I'm about 30 minutes away, so I definitely would love to come out in the fall and watch you guys a little bit. So,
well, I'm certainly looking forward to getting settled and getting out there and going to work. So we're excited about it. So we got another month or so, but you can bet we're going to be getting after it.
Awesome. Awesome. Love that. Well, awesome.
We'll be there supporting you guys all the way. So,
okay. I appreciate it, guys.
Cool. Thank you, Coach. Have a good night.
Have a good night, guys. Take care.